News Talk 790 KFYO. Good morning. It's 7:09. Tom and Laura, it's Friday. Welcome to the weekend. Don't forget Farmers Market at UMC today, 11 to 3. And just a side note, man, it's hard to get good help. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, yes. I hired somebody to take an admin position over at my shop. And,
right.
You know, she starts on Monday and she quits yesterday, but she kept trying to rewrite the job description. It was just one of the things she said. She was like, well, you know, can I just take a half hour lunch and leave at 5? I'm like, no. That's why I hired you, to be here until 5:30. So I don't know what the deal was. Anyway, not only is it hard to find good help, but it's also hard to find people to put into a prison system. Well, not put into the system.
No, that's pretty easy.
Yeah.
That's the easy part, putting them in.
Anyway.
Having enough is
Lubbock's neighbor to the west, about 30 minutes away, is Littlefield, Texas. Mm-hmm. On the line with us right now is the Littlefield city manager, Mike Arzmendez. Welcome to the program. Good morning.
Good morning. How's everybody?
We're doing pretty good. How
Thanks
are things
for
out
calling.
In the thriving metropolis of Littlefield, Texas?
Well, we're doing well.
Go Wildcats. Woohoo! All right, Mike, how long have you been the city manager out there?
Almost 3 years now.
Okay. And just, you know, kind of all this stuff with, and I know, tell us the story about the prison and when it got built, because it was a big deal and a big stink about it when it was built and everything. So when was it built, and then now what are the problems that you're facing?
Well, the Bill Clinton Detention Center was actually built in about 2000. It was built to house youth inmates from the Texas Youth Commission at that point in time. What happened was that about 2004, TYC pulled out all the youth inmates, put them in their own state-run facilities. We basically had to repurpose the facility and expand it. It became an adult facility in about 2005, held inmates out of the state of Wyoming. For about 3 years, they pulled them out. 6 months later, they received inmates from the state of Idaho, and they were here until 2009. Since February 2009, the facility has sat empty. So when I came into the position, the facility had been empty for about 2.5 years. So I can tell you I spent almost 3 years working to try to get occupants into the facility. And I say occupants, I'm trying to try to get people in the facility so that we can begin.
Butts in the seats, so to speak.
Exactly. So, what I'm looking for is that it'll help us to be able to offset and alleviate the debt service that we're having to carry. Of course, it's going to be a positive economic impact in the city, and it's going to be a job creation.
Hey, right. I know that it's a matter of public information, and you know we could go through a request and anything. Long story short, are you comfortable sharing what the debt service on the facility is?
Sure. We spend almost $800,000 a year on debt service.
Wow. Is that typical of a prison to have turnover or changes that you've experienced in a prison system?
Well, from my understanding, dealing with the individuals that have been involved in prison industry, it's fairly common in a private facility, even though it's owned by the city government, it's considered to be a private facility because it's not owned by the state. And so there's some turnover that happens there. And so it's just something that we've got to know that happens, but that's the reason we're trying to secure some long-term inmates or occupants or whatever the case may be into our facility so that we could begin to start alleviating that debt. You know, because as I was mentioning, $800,000 for us, that's 13% of my budget. I've got a $6 million budget.
Okay, if you divide that $800,000 by 12, Mike, you know, consider that the mark of the devil because it's $66,666.66 a year. A month. I'm sorry.
That's not the way I want to think about it.
I know, really. Thanks for that, Tom.
That's kind of the omen that you're laying out there for me.
Okay.
So what options are you looking at? Tell us about who you've talked to and what you guys are considering.
Well, and I tell you, I've had, since the time I've been there, I've had numerous conversations. But just to kind of briefly wrap up in the last, year, of course, we have talked with Bernalillo County, which is basically the county where Albuquerque is located, Albuquerque, New Mexico, about the possibility of housing inmates, county inmates, out of their facility. They currently have a facility that's certified for 2,218, I believe is what it is. But they're under the longest-running lawsuit in history called the McClendon lawsuit. And one of the issues that they're dealing with right now is the overcrowding issue. So that's the reason they began to start talking about to us, because at any point in time in the summer, they'll be sending about 2,600 to 2,800 inmates, which is way over the capacity of 2,218. So we talked to them about that, and that continues to be ongoing discussions that we're having with Bernalillo County.
Wouldn't that be sort of a temporary situation, though, just as they need it?
No, I mean, and what we're talking about is on a contract basis for long term, so that they know they always have bed space here. You know, by doing that, of course, it opens up some other possibilities in New Mexico with Curry County. We've been in conversations with Curry County over in Clovis, you know, up in the kind of the northern part of New Mexico, down towards Portales, Hobbs. There's all sorts of counties that have talked to us about the possibility of housing. But, you know, they've got maybe 20 to 50 inmates that they'd want to bring us. And it's tough for me to open up a facility for only 50 inmates.
Yeah, I get that. Hey, Mike, do you mind hanging out with us for a couple of minutes? We got to hit a break. We'll be back. Is that all right?
No problem.
All right, appreciate that. Right now, 7:15, good morning. All right, we are on the phone talking with Mike Arizmendez, Littlefield City Manager, talking about the prison facility out there. Obviously, it's just kind of like sitting there. Hey, Mike, welcome back to the program. How are you?
I'm doing great. I just so you know, it's 68 degrees in Littlefield.
All right. Well, thank you. I was actually thinking that. You know, you guys get the short end of the mezzanet stick because the mezzanet does not have a reading from Littlefield, Texas.
Aww.
We can get that to you every morning if you need
it. All right. That'd be good. Hey, okay, we were talking about your debt service, your annual debt service, $800,000, dividing that by 12, $66,666.66 repeating per month. Now, what is the breakdown, Mike, of the actual debt service as far as land, improvement, taxes, yada, yada?
Well, and what that is because as a government, we don't have to worry about the property tax, but we do... just know that that is simply the principal and interest for our payment, with approximately, you know, depending on the year that we're looking at, but, you know, anywhere between $550,000 to $600,000 going towards the principal and the rest of it being interest.
Okay. Just real quick, what's your census over there in Littlefield, your tax base?
We're at 6372 is what the official census is. So 6372 is our population. So it gives you some idea. Our property tax rate runs at about 0.7215 is what our property tax per hundred.
Yeah, most people are in situations where they're paying like, what, you know, 0.15, 0.18, something like that, and you guys are 0.7?
0.7. I know that the, if I'm not mistaken, City of Lubbock runs probably just about a little under, what, 0.5, just under that, I believe. That last I heard, last I remember is about 0.5.
Oh, yeah, I was thinking probably a school, like the school portion of the tax.
Yeah, the school portion runs, you know, I think Littlefield runs at about $1.60, I believe, or $1.50.
Wow. Well, if you divide that by 6372, that's about $10.50 per month.
Yeah, and so, you know, and it is. It's a tax, I mean, a burden it. That we have to be able to absorb into the budget. You know, as I mentioned, it's 13% of my budget. I've got a $6 million budget. So you can see it eats up a lot of it. And we continue to still provide services for the city, but you stop and think. I mean, if we had an additional $800,000 to put back to my budget, there's a lot more services that we could be able to provide to the citizens and be able to meet a lot more of what we would like to do.
Yeah. Hey, Mike, I know you've been city manager for 3 years. Now, you know, there have been reports and things published about, you know, possibly putting illegal aliens there. You know, from the horse's mouth, have you been in contact with the federal government relative, you know, housing illegal aliens?
Yes, we have.
Okay.
I actually began that conversation with them about 2 years ago. We went to Washington, D.C. in July of 2012, and that was the very first presentation we made to Immigration and Customs Enforcement in D.C. And we have been in conversation on again, off again discussions with them for 2 years, and as late as Monday night, I had a meeting with some of the officials from ICE.
Really? Now, let me ask you, as far as the citizen base goes, I mean, how are the actions? Because I know people in Lubbock, outside looking in, everybody's got this like, oh, no, not here in our backyard.
Right.
But are your citizens, are they pissed about that, or are they okay with it?
Well, I mean, I think it's a mixture of the population also. I think that from what we had a town hall meeting, and there was a lot of opposition to it in the town hall meeting. But since that town hall meeting, I've had a lot of individuals, letters, calls, people coming by the office telling us that they're in support because they know that we have to get somebody into the facility. And, you know, as I've kind of noted to everyone that I've been talking to, I mean, I understand the issue that people have with legal immigration. But, you know, as I said, that's a federal issue. I cannot send my police officer down to the border and secure the border.
Right, I hear it. But, you know, and here's another thing, Mike. I think a lot of why people are second-guessing it, I think people, I don't think people are settling, and I don't think people are happy about it in any circumstance, because I certainly am not. But the thing is the federal government's going to do whatever the heck they want to do, and there's nothing you, me, or anybody else can do about it unless it's a top-down thing.
Well, and exactly. I mean, that's a decision that it has to be done by the federal government. They have to make the decision to want to fix the issue. And, you know, until they make that decision, we're going to continue to have illegal immigration and illegal aliens coming into this country. And this is a decades-long issue. It's not like it's just started up recently. You know, we've got a Congress that there was a border bill just recently passed out of the House, but the Senate went home for recess. So they didn't even address the issue. And, I think that it's just a continuous bipartisan infighting that's taking place. But that's nothing that you know, the local officials here in Littlefield can solve. And so we continue to simply work with the Immigration and Customs Enforcement officer officials. And talk to them about trying to put illegal immigrants into our facility.
Hey, Mike, let me ask you real quick. How many beds do you guys have in that facility?
It's certified for 382.
Hmm.
So we've got it's almost 400. We had ICE officials come in last year, and they got a bed count of 401. But I think that also includes what they probably counted what we called SEG and our medical unit.
Is that single or double occupancy?
It depends on the cell. I mean, we have some cells, majority of our cells are double occupancy, and then we have some cells that have up to 16 beds in there, and some have up to 6,
right.
So it depends on which pod you're in.
Hey, Mike, listen, we're just about out of time. We're going to have to cut away. Just a note on parting here. Maybe we could set up some sort of like weekend stay experience or something like the weekend prison experience in Littlefield, just a jest there.
Yeah, you know, we could probably try to do something like that and be able to charge people to come in and we'll treat them like a prisoner, treat them like an inmate, and that'll help us.
Hey, our conversation continues with City Manager of Littlefield, Mike Arizmendez. Welcome back to the program, sir. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me back.
Hey, listen, thanks for hanging with us. So for people that are just joining us, the prison was built, and you guys had contracts, and then you had different clientele that you were housing, and basically, long story short, you're sitting there with $800,000 a year debt service. Comes out to
on an empty building.
Yeah, on an empty building, $66,666.66 a month. Your census base, your taxpayer base, is about what you said, $3,792?
Population
is 6372. I'm sorry. All right.
So you're basically looking at three possibilities right now. We've talked about the first one was to bring in prison inmates from New Mexico.
New Mexico. Yeah, that's weird because.
From Hale County.
You know, and also, we talked about the immigration situation and bringing in some illegal immigrants and housing them there.
Now, off mic. Now, right before we hit the news break, we were sitting there talking about maybe we could do like some sort of, you know, hotel experience or a weekend experience. And, you know, in jest, we were sitting there talking about that, but like, you know, it's a possibility, isn't it?
A prison experience of some type?
Yeah.
You know, I tell you, anything, any type of revenue that I can generate, I want to take a look at it. You know, people would call me desperate, but they're not sitting there having to deal with this debt service we have over here.
Well, if that does happen, maybe we could hire the village people to come out and open up for you. anyway, now, one thing that we haven't talked about yet, and you also have thought about, I guess, talking to Hollywood to see if they wanted to maybe use that for filming purposes.
Yeah, we floated that idea also, and Didn't get any response back from it, but that's an idea that we floated, possibility of being able to use it as a some scenes or something in a movie. So, I mean, we're just trying to leave no stone unturned.
You're outside the box, man, that's for sure. Now, listen, earlier this week...
I've been told about that.
Yeah. Earlier this week, information came out and stories were written and reported about you guys are going after perhaps some violent sex offenders, housing violent sex offenders. Do you get any backlash from your community about that inquiry?
Well, and I think that, yeah, I mean, we've had some comments made on that also. I think it's all over social media about that, too. And what it is the state of Texas currently has violent sexual offenders that have completed their sentence that are civilly committed to a program, and there's some Senator John Whitmire out of Houston has basically the one that has kind of been spearheading this whole deal. There's an RFP that's currently out, a request for proposal currently out by the Department of State Health Services of attempting to find a location or house them in a particular location so they're all continuing to receive their counseling and psychiatric care. What happens is that once they've been kind of in this program, they rarely get out, but they need a place to put them. And instead of having them in halfway houses or community houses, the idea being floated by Senator John Whitmire is to place them in a facility and have them all under one roof so that they're all receiving treatment. And it's kind of economies of scale, so they're not having counselors and psychologists all over the state, but can have all in one location. So that's an RFP. There's going to be a bid. It closes on September the 9th, and we're looking at submitting a bid on that one also.
Hey, just real quick, Mike, before we hit the break, and we got to move on to other things, and I appreciate you staying over with us, but I did want to ask you one thing. What is the differentiation between a sex offender and a violent sex offender? What makes a sex offender a violent sex offender?
I believe in the course of the offense, from my understanding, is that there was an assault of some type that took place that was, that on its own could have been charged with its own criminal offense.
I get it. All right, Mike Arizmendez, Littlefield City Manager. Thanks for spending time with us, hanging out, and providing that information. We'll be in touch with you, okay?
All right, sounds great. Appreciate you guys, and thanks for allowing me to be on with you.
Littlefield, Texas. Have a fantastic day. It's 7:45.